Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now you're welcome back to Drive Time. It's been sold as a cure for stress and sleeplessness and high blood pressure. But does mindfulness also make you more selfish? A study by researchers in New York suggests that people who view themselves as independent become more selfish after practicing mindfulness. So there you go. Well, those who view themselves as interdependent, part of a family or a community, well, they become more generous with the practice. That's what the research says. It's an intriguing finding. And here to tell us more is Dr. Brendan Kelly, author of The Science of Happiness. Dr. Kelly, you're welcome to Drive Time.
Thank you very much.
Do you think mindfulness then has been oversold all these years?
Mindfulness is a very useful technique for managing stress, cultivating compassion and connection and so forth, but it has been oversimplified, overhyped, oversold, overcommodified, and now, you know, a lot of what one reads about mindfulness, you know, is so distant from the original Buddhist concept that I'm not surprised there are research findings emerging showing that it, you know, it can heighten individualism and heighten narcissism, indeed, if it's not used mindfully.
Really? Because I am a little bit surprised. I'm obviously not as well read as you are in this field. But I thought with the practice of mindfulness and meditation that I would become more like Sadhguru and Zen and giving of myself to other people with the practice.
Yes, well, you certainly would if you were practicing mindfulness correctly. Now, in the research that's reported, half of the college students did a 15-minute mindfulness of breathing exercise to focus on their breath. But really, that's not enough to truly engage with mindfulness. To be truly mindful, we need to be aware of the present moment, what we're feeling in our bodies and our minds, but also aware of other people. So, for example, Cormac, I might be aware of you and what you're thinking. You might be worried about timing on the radio show or something. And I would be aware of that and also aware of the broader context of your team and your listeners. And I would feel connected and empathic with all elements of the present moment, not just myself.
That's if you were interdependent, surely, based on this research. If you were an independent-minded person, you would be saying, "Amn't I great on the radio? Let's accentuate my voice and my ideas and my expertise." Is that not what the research is telling us?
Well, it is, but that's not mindfulness. Mindfulness is about awareness, simple awareness and non-judgmental presence and simply being there and being aware of the moment, being aware of the context and being aware of other people. And if that happens, if you're really doing it, then the boundary between yourself and other people becomes a little bit blurry. You feel more connected, more empathic and more sympathetic. So practiced correctly, mindfulness, it does decrease stress and it helps with symptoms of depression, but it also increases empathy, compassion and connectedness. But we see an awful lot of mindfulness being advised.
Explain that one to me, Brendan.
Well, mindfulness isn't just about being aware of your own mind. That is, in fact, mindless mindfulness. True mindfulness is opening yourself to sensations and features of the present moment that you might have been skipping. You might be hopping over them, like a slight anxiety about being on the radio or a slight concern about not sounding too good. And you notice this, but you let it drift past mindfully. You see it, but you don't engage with it. And then you broaden your awareness into sort of your broader environment, and you think of other people's presence in the moment and your connection with them, which can be quite profound. Now, a lot of this, Cormac, sounds new agey and phooey.
Yeah.
And people just don't like it. And a lot of people make their way to mindfulness in other ways, like focusing on the moment while they're running or focusing on swimming or focusing just being absorbed in the moment and letting your sense of self drift away.
So that sounds, in a way, I suppose when people think of mindfulness, they think of meditative mindfulness, don't they? The breathing, closing your eyes and focusing on the breath going in and out. And when your mind wanders, to bring it back non-judgmentally to the breath in and out. But what you're talking about is very different. Mindfulness when running.
Yes, well, that mindfulness of breathing is a really good technique, and it's often thought because everyone can do it because your breath is always present, and if your breath isn't present, then you've got other bigger problems. But a lot of people I talk to, they might go running, and I'll say, what are you thinking when you're running? And they'll say their mind is empty. There's just the movement. There's just the presence in the moment. And you get the same with swimming. And even some people, when they're knitting, you say, what are you thinking? And you find they're totally focused on the moment, and that their self, their sort of narcissistic self, has just simply sort of disintegrated or disappeared for a little while, and they are simply the motion or the action or the being. And that ultimately is one of the most pure forms of mindfulness, even if people don't like the word mindfulness.
Okay, well, Kieran Buckley texts the programme to say, mindfulness is much more nuanced than what is thought. The key thing is compassion, both for oneself, but also others, indeed all living things. I find the practice makes me more connected, not detached, says Kieran. Would you agree with that, Brendan?
Absolutely. Mindfulness is not about removing yourself from the present moment. It's connecting more deeply. And in Buddhist tradition, it is not practiced on its own. It is practiced with meditations for compassion, meditations for wisdom, and meditations that remind us we are one embedded part of a network of interconnectedness to which we will always belong.
I always think it's nourishing to listen to Dr. Brendan Kelly, the author of The Science of Happiness. Brendan, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on Drive Time once again.
Thank you very much.